Okay, thank you everyone. Gutvach, thank you everyone for joining. We're going to, although as I mentioned, the minhag is to give the Shabbos Hagadol drasha on Shabbos, and the minhag is to give it this Shabbos as opposed to next Shabbos, but nevertheless, in order to enable everyone to attend and to maximize participation and still maintain some semblance of social distancing, so we have it in this format. There are some people that are here in person, Baruch Hashem, and we have people on Zoom, and Mirat Hashem, next year we'll go back to the original format of just in person and on Shabbos the way it's supposed to be. So Mirat Hashem, looking forward to that. Okay, I'm going to share my source sheet with you. You should be able to see it on your screen. And tonight I'd like to talk a little bit about matzah, and specifically matzah ashira, or what many of us would refer to as egg matzah. I want to begin by thanking tonight's sponsors. The shiur tonight is sponsored by Rifki and Marvin Wortenthal, for Refuah Shleima, for two dear friends, Tzvi Elimelech Ben Brindel, and Yisrael David Ben Chaya Yenta. And they should have a quick Refuah Shleima. And it's also sponsored annually by Judy and Howie Hahn to commemorate the yard sites of Judy's uncle and grandparents who perished in the Shoah, Achav Rabbi Yisrael ben Rab David, Rivka Bas Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi, and Rabbi Huda ben Achav Yisrael Aleim Ashalom Hashem Yikom Domam, and their neshamos should have an aliyah. I'll ask, just to try to maintain the decorum on the Zoom, if we can maybe save the questions until the end. Feel free to write them in the chat if you want. Maybe we'll check the chat at the end, and we'll answer any questions that you might have. Okay, so we know there's such a thing as egg matzah, and I think egg matzah is one of those topics that people find a little bit confusing, because on the one hand, we kind of know that it's not chametz, right? You know, people eat it. It has a kosher l'Pesach hechsher in many cases. On the other hand, many of us are familiar with the minhag Ashkenaz that we don't eat it on Pesach. You know, only the elderly or the infirm, you know, those who are ill. And the question is, why? What is this all about? What's the background of this? You know, usually we're used to things, either they're chametz or they're not chametz. So here you have something that's kind of no man's land. So what's the idea behind this? And I'd like to learn a little bit about the background of egg matzah, which is known in halacha as matzah ashira, and we'll talk about that. And also to talk specifically how it applies this year. Some of you may have seen, you know, some discussion regarding using egg matzah this year because Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. And then at the end, we'll share some, you know, some thoughts regarding Lechem Oni as well. Okay, so if we take a look at source number one, we begin, as is always a great place to begin, with a pasuk in the Torah, pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. And the Torah tells us, Lo sochal alav chametz shivas yomim. We're not supposed to eat chametz. We have a lo sa'aseh to eat chametz for 7 days. I'm sorry, lo sochal alav chametz. We're not supposed to eat chametz. Shivas yomim tochal alav matzos lechem oni. And for 7 days, we're supposed to eat matzah, which is known as lechem oni. We're supposed to eat matzah, it's known as lechem oni. Kibichi pazon yatzasam eretz mitzrayim. Leman tizkor seyom tzeschom eretz yisrayim kol yimei chayecha. We came out of Mitzrayim in a hurry, bichi pazon. Right, we all know that we didn't have time for the matzahs to rise, and we want to remember that day, the day that we left Mitzrayim. So we know this. We have a mitzvah, of course, to eat matzah. We have this lo sa'aseh that we're not supposed to eat chametz, and we see here in the Torah that matzah is referred to by this phrase, this expression of lechem oni, and we know this. We're familiar with this from the Seder, because the Seder obviously begins. We know. Halachma Anya. Halachma Anya is Aramaic for lechem oni, this lechem oni. And we know that lechem oni is poor man's bread. Poor man's bread. We're familiar with some of the drashos of Chazal that we'll talk about, right? Ma darko shel oni beprusa, that just like a poor person doesn't necessarily eat entire whole loaves or rolls, they eat pieces. That's why we have the mitzvah of yachatz at the Seder. We break it in half because of lechem oni. So we're familiar with this concept of lechem oni, and we'll talk a little bit more about it later in this year. Now, if we look at source number two, and this is the Gemara that really begins the discussion of egg matzah and all other types of matzah ashira, We have a statement of Reish Lakish, and that is, this is Gemara Pesachim on Daf Lamed Hey, Isa Shenilusha B'Yayin V'Shemen U'Dvash, that if you have dough that was kneaded with wine, oil, and honey, okay, wine, oil, and honey, and here usually honey in the Mishnah and the Gemara refers to date honey. So if you have flour that was kneaded with these ingredients, and let's assume right now that it was only these ingredients, meaning it's flour and wine, period, no water, or it's flour and oil, or flour and dvash and date honey. That's it. Ein chayavin al chimutza kares. Says Reish Lakish, if this becomes chametz, and we'll talk more about that, one is not chayav kares for eating this type of chametz. Normally on Pesach, if I consume regular chametz, I eat a pretzel or something like that, I'm chayav kares. Not someone. It's chayav kares. Right? That's the punishment for eating chametz on Pesach. But here, this type of chametz, you're not chayav kares. Why? My time of the Reish Lakish, says the Gemara. What's the reasoning of Reish Lakish? Amar le di amar kra, lo soch alav chametz v'gomer. We just had the pasuk in source number one. And we see the connection in the pasuk between chametz and matzah. Devarim shadam yotze b'hayni dei chavasa b'matzah chayav n'al chimutzo kares. You're only chayav kares for a type of chametz that if it wasn't chametz, you could be yotze the mitzvah of matzah. However, v'ha, but these things, any type of dough that was kneaded with wine, oil, or date honey, ho'il ve'ein adam yotze b'yidei chavaso, since you cannot be yotze the mitzvah of matzah with these things, why dehavyale matzah ashira? Because this type of matzah is called matzah ashira. Matzah that's made with these types of fruit juices is called matzah ashira. You're not yotze the mitzvah of matzah. So to ein chayavin al chimutza kares. So you're also not chayav kares if you consume this type of chametz on Pesach. And the Gemara a little bit later adds a layer of reasoning to Reish Lakish. Hainu tamid Reish Lakish mishum dahavaluhu mei peros. These things are mei peros. These are fruit juices, right? Again, wine, oil. Oil comes from olives, obviously. We're talking about olive oil here. And devash, which is date honey. Umei peros ein machmitzin. And mei peros, fruit juices, do not really make things chametz. Okay. So we have this concept, two concepts that we see in this Gemara. Number one, at the end of the Gemara, we see that mei peros are not machmitzin, right? That these types of mei peros, they don't really cause things to become chametz. And number two, we see this concept of matzah ashira, that a person cannot be yotze, the mitzvah of matzah, with matzah ashira. And matzah ashira seems to be matzah that's made with these types of ingredients, yayin, shemen, and dvash. Okay. Now we have another Gemara about a daf later in Pesachim. This one is on daf lamed vav. And the Gemara here refers to the phrase that we just saw in the pasuk of lechem oni. And it quotes the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Ma tamulomar lechem oni. What does the pasuk that refers to matzah as lechem oni come to teach us? Prat le'isa shenilu shebayayin v'shemen u'dvash. This is coming to exclude dough that was made with these ingredients. If you have dough that was made with yayin, shemen, and dvash, wine, oil, and honey, so you're not yotze matzah. That's not called lechem oni. And this is very similar to what we saw in the previous Gemara. Previous Gemara referred to it as matzah ashira. It's not lechem oni. It's not the poor man's bread, but rather it's matzah ashira. It's the rich man's bread. It's the rich man's matzah. And you're not yotze with such a matzah. What happens if you made it? I'm sorry, keep going. The Gemara asks, "Does Rabbi Akiva Yisur Shenilusha B'Yayin V'Shemenu Dvash Lo?" The Gemara asks, "Does Rabbi Akiva really hold that way? That a person is not yotze with this type of matzah?" The Hatanya, but we have a Braisa. The Braisa says, "Ein Lo Shenisa B'Pesach B'Yayin V'Shemenu Dvash." You're not allowed to knead dough on Pesach with wine, oil, and honey. Vim Lush, and let's say you did knead it. You're not supposed to, but let's say you did. Rabban Gamliel Amar Tisarev Miyad. Rabban Gamliel says you burn it right away. V'chachamim Amrim Yochal. Chachamim say no, you can eat it. The Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva comes and says, Shavti Haisa Eitza Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yoshua. That I was once by Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua on Pesach. V'lashti lahem Isa B'yayin V'shem and Udvash. I needed dough for them with wine, oil, and honey. And they didn't protest. They didn't say anything to me. So he's coming to support the opinion of the Chachamim and the Gemara. That's the question of the Gemara. The Gemara goes on to give an answer, which is not so important for us right now for our discussion. But what we see in these two Gemaras is really a tension here and a challenge, and many of the Rishonim are bothered. Because on the one hand, in source number two, we concluded the Gemara by saying, May peros ein machmitzin. Then may peros do not make dough chametz. It's not going to be chametz. And that sounds like if I take flour and I mix the flour with wine, oil, and honey, it's not going to make it chametz. And yet the other Gemara, Daf later, on Daf Lamed Vav, seems to say, Ein loshin isa bepesach b'yayin v'shem en udvash. You're not allowed to. Why are you not allowed to? Presumably because it makes it chametz. So which one is it? Do we go with the earlier Gemara or the later Gemara? Do we say that may peros, yayin and shemen and dvash, do we say that these things do make flour into chametz? Or do we say that they do not make flour into chametz? Which one is it? And like I said, many of the Rishonim grapple with this tension between the two Gemaras. And we have three approaches in the Rishon, which are going to be very important to halacha lemaisa. So approach number one is Rashi. Rashi, the great commentary on Gemara, on the second Gemara. So Rashi explains, why is it that one is not allowed to knead dough with yayin, shemen, and dvash? So Rashi says, "Mipnei shekrova umemaheres lahachmitz," because these fruit juices actually cause it to become chametz quicker. Causes it to become chametz quicker than just water. Ve'ein adam yachol l'shomra, and a person cannot be on guard enough to make sure that this dough does not become chametz. If you just mix the flour with the water, so then you work it, you do everything to make sure that it does not become chametz. You can handle that, right? In 18 minutes, you know, you get it all baked, it won't become chametz, you can do it. But may peros, memaheres kerova umemaheres lahachmitz, they make it chametz even quicker than just water alone, and therefore, a person can't be careful. It's going to become chametz. We're afraid it's going to become chametz. Now Rashi says, what about the earlier Gemara? Right? What about the earlier Gemara, Daf, earlier in Daf Lamed Hey, where we said Reish Lakish made the comment that May Peros are not Machmitzin, they don't make it into Chametz. So how can I tell you now that it's going to make it into Chametz even faster? Says Rashi, Lo Kashahach, that's not a contradiction, that's not a question. Why? De'ihu ein chayovin al chimutzo kareis ka'amar. Reish Lakish was not saying that it really does not become Chametz. Reish Lakish was saying that it doesn't become real chametz for which you're chayav kares. However, right, v'lohavi chametz gamor. It's not chametz gamor. It's not real chametz that's going to cause kares. Ela chametz nuksha have. But it's chametz nuksha. What's chametz nuksha? Klomar ra. It's like a worse type of chametz. It's a lower level chametz. It's not chametz gamor. Chametz gamor, real full-fledged chametz, for that you chayav kares. May peros, they make it into chametz, but not chametz gamor. It's not a chayav kares, it's chametz nuksha. It's chametz nuksha. V'oso chimutz, hein memarin lahachmitz v'yav shal shomran. But it becomes chametz nuksha very quickly. And that's why you can't do it. Okay? So again, it's not chametz gamor, according to Rashi, but it's chametz nuksha. It is a certain type of chametz. So now, according to Rashi, if I would ask you, you know, if you make matzah with mei peros, halacha lemaisa, is that allowed or not allowed? You would tell me, absolutely not. Right? It might not be chametz gamor, you might not be chayv kares, but it's still chametz nuksha. It's the lower level chametz, but it's still aser. It's a question, is it aser midrabanan? Is it aser midoraisa? It might only be aser midrabanan, but it's definitely still aser. And it's called chametz. And according to Rashi, that's the problem of May Peros. Now comes Tosfos on the Gemara in Pesachim, on Daf Lamed Hey, and he quotes the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, a grandson of Rashi, who disagrees with his grandfather. And Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam says, V'chein Pirush Rabbeinu Tam in source number 5, De'ein machmitzin kol iker. No, May Peros, they do not make flour chametz at all. Unlike Rashi says, they don't make chametz at all. So now, if they don't make it chametz, right? May peros ein machmitzin, like the earlier Gemara said. What do we do with the Gemara in Daf Lamed Vav, which said that you're not allowed to do it on Pesach? ein lashin, you're not allowed to knead the dough with mei peros. Why not? If it's ein machmitz in kolikar, if they don't make it chametz at all, why can't you make it with mei peros? Says Rabbeinu Tam. No. The later Gemara is talking about where you also mixed in water. It was mei peros plus water. It was juice plus water. Then the oz memaharos yoser lahachmitz. Then it hastens the chimutz process. Flour with water alone, that's not so quick. That's 18 minutes. You have 18 minutes. But if you mix the flour with water and fruit juice, that speeds up the chametz process. That's what the Gemara was saying you cannot do. And the alha amar de'ein bohen kares avalav isbe. Now that's still not a chiyuv kares, says Rabbeinu Tam, right? With mei peros, it's still not a chiyuv kares, but it is a lav. But it is a lav. Aval hecha de'leispe taroves mayim. But if there's no water at all mixed in here, kigon yayin v'chometz u'shar mei peros, shor legamre, then it's completely permissible. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, the way we can reconcile these two Gemaras is that the earlier Gemara, which says mei peros ein machmitzin, that's talking about mei peros alone. Fruit juice alone does not make it chametz at all. But if I mix the fruit juice with water, so then it does make it chametz, and it makes the chametz quicker. And that's what's going to be prohibited. Not a chiyuv kares, not full-fledged chametz, but it's a lav. Okay, so that's reconciliation number two, according to Tosfos. If I were to ask Tosfos, can I make matzah with just fruit juice alone? He would say, yes, absolutely, as long as it's fruit juice alone. If you have any water mixed in, no, then it's aser. But fruit juice alone is absolutely fine, unlike Rashi's opinion. Now we have opinion number three, which is the Rambam, who's very close to Tosfos, but with a slight difference. And the Rambam writes that if I mix, we'll read the beginning of six. This is a Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Perakei Alecha Beis. Chameshes minei dog on elu, these five grains, the five grains that we're familiar with, im loshon b'mei peros bilvad below shum mayim, again, just like Rabbeinu Tam, if I make the matzah with just mei peros, just fruit juice, without any water at all, liolam einam boim lidei chimutz, they don't become chametz at all, like Tosfos, unlike Rashi, el afilu inichon kol hayom ad shenitvach habotzek, hare ze mutar ba'achila. Says the Rambam, if you let it sit all day, let the dough sit, and it rises, it blows up, the whole dough blows up. It's not chametz. That's not called chametz. Shein mei peros machmitzin ela masrichin. That's a different chemical process. That's not called chametz. Umei peros hein, he brings examples, kigon yayin, v'cholav, udvash, v'zayis, umei tapuchim, umei ribonim, he brings other examples of mei peros. V'chol kayotze ben mishar yenos u'shmonim u'mashkim. And again, he emphasizes the hushalo yisar ben shum mayim ba'olam. But there can't be a drop of water. No water in there. No water, then it's mutter. Im nisar vehem mayim kol shehu, harei l'machmitzin. But a drop of water, a little bit of water in there, it's going to make it chametz. So this is very similar to Tosfos. The only difference seems to be that the Rambam holds that if you mix the water with the fruit juice, it makes it real chametz. Chametz that you're chayv kores for. Tosfos said if you mix the water with the fruit juice, then it's a lav. It's not kares. It's a lav. It's a lower level of chametz. The Rambam seems to say that it's full-fledged chametz. But other than that machlokas, whether it's full-fledged chametz, chametz gum or a lower level chametz, the Rambam and Tosfos are the same. Water and fruit juice together equals chametz. Fruit juice alone, completely permissible. Comes the Ravid and says, I don't know what the Rambam is talking about. Omer Avram, ein davar zeh pashut. It's not so simple. You read the Rambam, you think it's simple. It's not so simple. Not everyone agrees to this Rambam. True that fruit juice alone will not become chametz gamur, and you're not chayv kares. That sounds familiar to us because that's Rashi's opinion. He says, but it is chametz nuksha, even fruit juice alone. So here we have a big machlokas rishonim between Rashi and the Ravid on one hand, who hold even fruit juice alone is chametz. It might not be chametz gamur, it might not be a chiyuv kares, but it is chametz. It's called chametz nuksha, but you definitely violate maybe a lav or maybe a derabbanan, but it's definitely called chametz. And that's one opinion. And then we have the opinion of Tosfos and the Rambam on the other hand that say, no, It's only chametz if you mix water and fruit juice together. But if you have fruit juice alone, that's not chametz. That's not chametz at all. That's totally permissible. Okay. Right. That's true. We have a question from the crowd here. Yeah.
Let's say today's world.
Okay.
Today, according to Rashi, you probably would be able.
So Joey's asking, the Rashi seems to say the whole issue is that Eino Yachol L'Shomro. You can't protect it from becoming chametz. Maybe in today's day and age, you can protect from becoming chametz. That's a good question. I'm not sure that everybody would agree with that. I did see in one sefer brought in the name of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. I did not independently verify this, but I saw it brought in a sefer in the name of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, that when he gave a heksher, Zatzal passed away several years ago, when he gave a heksher to egg matzah, he actually designed it in a way where the machines would be working it so continuously and so strongly that he felt that the egg matzah did not become chametz. And he held that egg matzah from that run or that type of factory would be acceptable even for the Ashkenaz, even according to Rashi. So that's a good question, and that's what Rav Aaron held. Again, I'm not sure everybody would agree with that, but that is what Rav Aaron held. Okay, we're going to skip number 7, but let's jump to number 8. So how do we paskin? We have a big machlokas rishonim here between Rashi and the Ravid on one hand, Tosfos and the Rambam on the other hand. How do we paskin? So says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 8, May peros below mayim, ein machmitzin klal. May peros without water, fruit juice without water, does not make it chametz at all. So Shulchan Aruch seems to be paskining like the Rambam and like Tosfos. Umuter lechol bepesach matzah shenilusha b'mei peros, afilu shasa kol hayom. And if you have matzah that was kneaded with mei peros, with fruit juice, mutter. You're allowed to eat it on Pesach. Not chametz. It's mutter. No problem. However, so the Shulchan Aruch sticks in one line here, which we don't have time to get into it, but it's there's a little bit of a discussion about this line. Aval ein yotze b'yidei chavasim ipnei shimata ashira ukrok siv lechemoni. He says, but even though it's not chametz, you can't be yotze your obligation of eating matzah on the night of the Seder with this matzah. Why? Because it's still called matzah ashira. It's not called lechemoni. And the pasuk says you need lechemoni. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins that this is not chametz, right? We're talking about a fruit juice matzah. You make matzah with the apple juice. No water involved. No water at all. Just apple juice. Shulchan Aruch says 100% mutter. Not chametz at all. However, it's not lechemoni. It's called matzah ashira. It's not poor man's bread. It's not lechemoni. And therefore, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of matzah on the Leil HaSeder with this matzah. But you can eat it the rest of the yontif. It's not chametz. No problem. There is a question about the bracha on this type of matzah, because there's a question that this type of matzah might actually be considered pas haba b'kisnin, and that's a whole Hilchos Brachos discussion that I don't want to get into right now. But needless to say, it might be mizonos. If you eat it as a suda, then you can make hamotzi. But it's an interesting Hilchos Brachos discussion that's a little bit tangential to this. Now, we all know this matzah is known as egg matzah, right? Nobody ever has heard of, you know, apple juice matzah. But we've all heard of egg matzah. So we haven't seen anything about eggs. So what's the status of eggs? So it's interesting. Tosfos in source number 9 writes that Rashi was in doubt about this. Uvamei beitzim, which are eggs, obviously. Nistapik Rashi, chashiv mei peros alo. He wasn't sure. Is that considered mei peros? Is it not considered mei peros? We do find that if you make egg matzah, the dough is a little bit thicker than regular flour and water. But he writes, but Rabbeinu Tam did allow, just like Rabbeinu Tam allowed apple juice matzah, Rabbeinu Tam did allow egg matzah. And this is really the introduction of egg matzah. The Beis Yosef himself writes in source number 10, Beis Yosef, of course, is the same author as the Shulchan Aruch. This is his commentary to the tour. He writes, "V'chein pasha d'minag lahatir," that this is the minag. The minag is that we allow not fruit juice matzah and also egg matzah, as he'll say in a moment. You can make matzah with fruit juice, apple juice, right? As long as there's no water there at all. We're not worried about chimutz, about becoming chametz. It may pair us below mayim and machmitz. It may pair us alone without water. They don't make anything become chametz. Afilu show kol hayom, even if it was the whole day, right? You let it rise the whole day. And he says all may pair us are the same, including may beitzim, including eggs. And that's why we call it egg matz. It's interesting. I think nowadays, if you look at the box, you buy a box of egg matz and you look at the ingredients, I don't think they make it with eggs anymore. I think they make it actually with fruit juice. I think apple juice. I think even some make it with grape juice. But they don't make it with, I don't think most egg matzahs are not made with eggs anymore, but I guess they still call it egg matzah, you know, as a holdover from the time that they made it with eggs. So now the Shulchan Aruch very clearly paskins like the Rambam and Tosfos that if you make matzah with fruit juice alone, no water, or eggs alone, no water, it's absolutely not chametz. You can eat it on Pesach. You cannot eat it for the Seder. You can't be yotzeh the mitzvah of matzah, but you can eat it on Pesach. It's not chametz. Now, the problem is, and this is where the problem for the Ashkenazim begins, that the Ramah disagrees with this. And comes the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe, source number 11. This is the Ramah in his commentary to the tour. And he writes, V'ani lo ra'isi minhag zeh b'medinos elu miyamai. I never saw such a minhag. Right, the Beis Yosef just said, we read in source number 10, V'chein pashat haminag lahatir. Right, this is the custom that we allow it. Says the Ramah, not in these parts. I never saw such a minhag. And that's what the Ramah holds, that there's no such acceptable minhag to use fruit juice matzah or egg matzah on Pesach. And that's why in source number 12, where the Shulchan Aruch repeats, and this is a couple of se'ifim later, where he adds in that may beitzim are okay as well. May beitzim ushar mashkim kulam havu b'chlav may peros. Shulchan Aruch says, all fruit juice, eggs, no matter what, no problem. It's considered may peros, and that alone does not make it chametz. Comes the Ramah, and he codifies for us Ashkenazim lahalacha over medinos elu ein noagim lalush b'may peros. We do not have this minog to make matzah with may peros. The ein lashanos, he says, and don't change this minog. This is a real minog that we have. Imlo b'shas hadchak letzarche chole o zaken hatzarich loze. He gives two exceptions. He says, if you have a person who's sick, right, who's a chole, or you have a zakein, an elderly person who has a hard time eating the regular matzah, and the egg matzah or the matzah with meperos is easier to chew, maybe it's easier to, you know, to digest or whatever the case might be, it's easier for them to eat that, and they have a hard time with the regular matzah, the Ramah says, then I can hear being mekel, right? Because there are shitos that say it's okay. Right, there are shitos that say it's fine, so I can hear being makel under those circumstances, shas adchak, right, where it's a chole or it's a zaken. But other than that, writes the Ramah, this is not our minhag. We do not eat egg matzah on Pesach, and we treat it like chametz. The Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Chaim Michal Epstein, the great posek from Russia from the 1800s, in source number 13, so he adds, it's not just that, but anybody who has a hard time eating matzah. He says, let's say someone has problems with their teeth. Who had in the Misha Shina of Mikul Kalin? Right? They have problems with their teeth. They can't eat hard matzah, and the egg matzah is much softer. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that would fall under the same heter as a chola and a zake.
So according to the Ramah, it's not chametz then?
Okay, so good question. So the question is why is the Ramah so careful, right? Why is the Ramah saying that our minhag is not to eat it? So take a look at the Mishnah Berurah in source number 14. The Mishnah Berurah writes, for two reasons. Number one, the choshishin lechatchila, the svaras hane poskim, the sphere of the meperos bilichudayu, gamkin machmitz, and umamarin gamkin lahachmitz. He says, number one, lechatchila, we're worried about Rashi's opinion. Right? Rashi's opinion is that even meperos alone do make it chametz. So that's number one. Number two, the Mishnah Berurah adds, vegam choshishin, shamani sarim hemat mayim, de lechulayam machmitz. We're also worried that maybe a little water got it. Even Tosfos and the Rambam hold that if a little water creeps in, that's it. It makes the whole thing chametz. So we're concerned, the Ramah's concerned, maybe a couple drops of water came in, and a couple drops of water will make the whole thing into chametz, right? So if you would ask me, does the Ramah hold that egg matzah is chametz, I would tell you, not really. But he's machmir, he's strict, that we shouldn't eat it because maybe it's chametz. We want to be machmir for the shita of Rashi, that egg matzah is chametz, so that's why we don't eat it. And maybe we're worried, maybe a little bit of water got in, and maybe that made it chametz. So we're machmir that it's chametz, but it's not really chametz me'ikar adin.
By the way, Rabbi Manischewitz does have eggs in it.
Hold on one second. Right. That's why if a person has matzah, has egg matzah, right, you're allowed to own it over Pesach, and you're certainly allowed to give it, right? If it was real chametz, you can't give it even to someone who's sick or someone who's elderly, right? So obviously, we're not treating it as real chametz, but we're being machmir that maybe it's chametz, and that's why we're not consuming it unless there are extenuating circumstances.
Rabbi, Manischewitz egg matzah has eggs, wheat, pure apple, or grape juice.
Yeah. Okay. So it's made from a number of ingredients.
Right. But it does have eggs in it.
What happened? Yeah. Okay. Question at the end of the shiur.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. So those are the two concerns about egg matzah according to the Ramah. Now the Aruch HaShulchan supports this minhag very strongly. The Aruch HaShulchan again was one of the main poskim in the 1800s in Russia, and he wrote that nowadays in source number 15, he says you have people that are mezalzel, they it's a disgrace what they do, and they eat egg matzah on Pesach. He said that's not our minhag. Even for people that are healthy, they eat egg matzah. That's not the minhag. And he writes in very strong language where it's underlined, she'asidim liten es hadin, right? When they get up to Shamayim, they're going to have to answer the Ribbono Shel Olam. He says it's hundreds of years old, this minhag Ashkenaz, and people are not treating it properly. He says they're going to have to answer to this, and you know, he goes on to say how careful we have to be, and at the end he says a person will really get rewarded, you know, tremendous reward in Gan Eden for this. So the Aruch HaShulchan really supports, it's a very strong minhag Ashkenaz not to eat egg matzah, again, unless a person is sick or elderly or has some sort of other medical condition that makes it very difficult for them to eat the regular matzah. Okay, so this is egg matzah in general. And we know this, right? We know that we have this minhag, this fardim. Do we eat egg matzah on Pesach? Ashkenazim don't eat egg matzah on Pesach. Okay, now what about this year? What about Erev Pesach, Shechal L'yos B'Shabbos? So comes the Shulchan Aruch in source number 16, Simon Tuf Mem Dal, where he discusses these halachos. And he writes, Yudal Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, right? If the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, falls out on Shabbos like it does this year, Bod Kin Leil Shlosha Asar, we do B'Digas Chametz the night of the 13th, which is Thursday night, U'mevarim HaKol Lifnei HaShabbos, and we burn the Chametz as we know before Shabbos, U'meshayrin Mazon Shtei Sudos Tzorech HaShabbos. We keep two Seudos worth of bread for Shabbos, right? Challah, regular bread, one for Friday night and one for Shabbos morning. What about Shalosh Seudos? So writes the Shulchan Aruch, the Seudos Shlishis, Zmana Achara Mincha. Shalosh Seudos, really the correct Zman for Shalosh Seudos is in the afternoon, right? After Mincha time, meaning after Mincha Gedola. So let's say nowadays it's like 1:30-ish, right? That's the proper time for Shalosh Seudos. And at that time, you can't do it lo b'matzah. You can't eat matzah at that time because we don't eat matzah the whole Erev of Pesach. It's also to eat matzah the whole Erev of Pesach. V'lo b'chametz, you can't eat chametz anymore because you have to stop eating chametz after the fourth hour at 10:55 this year. Elo b'matzah ashira. He says, but you can eat matzah ashira, right? You can still eat egg matzah. Remember, according to the Shulchan Aruch, egg matzah is totally fine even on Pesach, right? So Erev Pesach, you can't eat regular matzah, right? Because we don't eat regular matzah Erev Pesach. You can't eat chametz, but you can eat egg matzah. So the Shulchan Aruch says, no problem, right? Your Friday night suda, you eat challah. Shabbos morning suda, you eat challah. And then you have egg matzah for Shalosh Seudos. Egg matzah for Shalosh Seudos. Shulchan Aruch just writes, you have to eat it before the end of the 10th hour, because the 10th hour, which this year is around the 4 o'clock or so, then we don't eat any bread products, even matzah ashir, even egg matzah, Shulchan Aruch says we don't eat. Why? Because we want to have an appetite for the Seder. Okay, that's the Shulchan Aruch. Comes the Ramah in a landmark comment, Uve Medinos Elu, She'ein No'agin Lechol Matzah Ashira. But in these countries, writes the Ramah, where our practice is, we do not eat matzah ashira. As I wrote later, which we just read, so then you can't eat egg matzah for shalosh shudis. So what should you do? So then, you know, you fulfill shalosh shudis with, you know, fruits and vegetables, or you have a meat and fish, things that, you know, okay, you can't wash. What are you going to do? You know, our hands are tied. It's Erev Pesach, Chalios B'Shabbos. What are we going to do? Now, we discussed, you know, I sent out a guide where we discussed splitting the morning Suda into two. So that's a nice chumrah from the Magen Avraham, right? But according to the Ramah, you don't have to do that. And you just make it in the afternoon with, you know, fruits and vegetables or meat and fish. You do that and you're fine. Now, the question is, when the Ramah said, "Medinos elu she'ein no'agin lechol matzah ashira," what did he mean by that? So we know the minig is not eat matzah ashira on Pesach. He wrote that. But what does that do with Erev Pesach? And writes the Aruch HaShulchan, the Ramah can't mean that on Erev Pesach we don't eat matzah ashira. In source number 17, Venire, she'ena kavana digam be'erev Pesach en lochu matzah ashira, lefi aminog. The Ramah cannot mean here that we have a custom, just like we have a custom not to eat matzah ashira on Pesach, so do we have a custom not to eat matzah ashira on Erev Pesach. That can't be. The ain't shum tambaze. He says there's no reason to be machmir not to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Pesach, I understand. We want to be machmir for the Shita of Rashi, that maybe it's chametz nuksha, right? We want to be, maybe according to the Mishnah Berurah, we'll worry, maybe a couple of drops of water mixed in, maybe it becomes chametz. But that's a chumrah. That's a chumrah. So to be machmir on Pesach, writes the Aruch HaShulchan, I understand. But Erev Pesach? Erev Pesach for such a chumrah? I don't understand it. It can't be. Ella, so what's the kavana? Ella ha-kavana, kevon she'ein min hagenu lechob Pesach matzah ashira. This is what the Ramah meant. Since our custom is not to eat matzah ashira on Pesach, memeila de'ein mechinim etzleinu matzah ashira. So therefore, nobody bakes matzah ashira. Now keep in mind, in these times, right, you didn't just go to Gourmet Glad to pick up a box of matzah ashira. You had to bake it, right? You had to get it from a bakery. So Ashkenazim, who don't eat matzah ashira, it's not so readily available. So we don't make matzah ashira. We don't prepare matzah ashira. Ulachin rach al sud shlishis ain derech b'nei adam la'atriach ha'maichel katan kazeh. So you're going to prepare it for one meal just for shalosh shudis? You're not eating matzah ashira before because you're getting chametz. I could have rolls for Friday night and Shabbos morning. I'm not preparing matzah ashira for Pesach because the minig is not eaten on Pesach. So I'm going to prepare matzah ashira for one meal? That's ridiculous. No one's going to be matriach like that. And we don't expect a person to be matriach to bother themselves to make matzah ashira for one meal. So therefore, writes the Aruch HaShulchan, that's what the Ramah meant. He didn't mean that it's a minig not to eat matzah ashira on Erev Pesach. He just meant that since we don't eat it on Pesach, so you're not going to have it. So if you're not going to have it, so then you got to fulfill shalosh shudis somehow. So eat some fruits and vegetables, eat some meat and fish. That's how you should fulfill shalosh shudis. But according to the Aruch HaShulchan, if we were to ask the Aruch HaShulchan and his understanding of the Ramah, but let's say we have matzah ashira readily available, I could just go to Gourmet Glad and pick up a box of matzah ashira, right? So let's say, so can I do that? According to the Aruch HaShulchan, absolutely. You can do that. It's not us. There's no minig not to eat it on Erev Pesach. So according to him, there's no problem. And you can eat it the whole day up until the 10th hour, like the Shulchan Aruch said. I can eat it till 4 o'clock. I can have shalosh shudis with matzah ashira, with egg matzah, according to the Aruch HaShulchan. And he's saying, this is what the Ramah meant. The Chok Yaakov, in source number 18, which is an even earlier posek, he wrote a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. He also is bothered by this, and he writes a similar suggestion, that maybe this is what the Ramah meant, very similar to what the Aruch HaShulchan wrote. The Efsher, he writes, Efsher the Kavanas HaRav, maybe this is what the Ramah meant. And not that it's a minag, not that it's usher to eat matzah ashira on Erev Pesach, but just, you're not going to have it. You're not going to have it. So if you're not going to have it, so then eat something else. But then in the end, he writes that it's three lines from the bottom here in source number 18. Ochein ma'aril hilcho Shabbos hagadol u'bahagos smak. He says, if you look at two Rishonim, big Ashkenazi Rishonim, the Ma'aril in his halachos of Shabbos hagadol, the smak, the Sefer Mitzvos Katan in Simon Reish Yotes, Kosvu gamkein de gamba erev Pesach ein lechol matzah ashira. They wrote that even on erev Pesach, one should not eat matzah ashira. One should not eat egg matzah. Mishum dechayshin on shemani sarbo mat mayim umachmitz. Because we are really concerned that maybe it's chametz, maybe a little water got in and it's chametz. That's really our concern. So if we're concerned that it's chametz, we haven't. There's an issur d'oraisa to eat chametz on erev Pesach. So it's not just a chumrah that we're really concerned about this. And therefore, the Maharil and the Smak both hold that it's really usur, that it's really usur, or at least according to the Minhag, it's usur to eat matzah ashira, egg matzah on erev Pesach. And that's what the Ramah wrote. That's what the Ramah meant. And he writes at the end, the achar zenim shacharav. So at the end of the day, even though the Chok Yaakov does suggest the same understanding as the Aruch HaShulchan, he seems to conclude that what the Ramah really meant was to prohibit matzah ashira, egg matzah, even on Erev Pesach. That's what it seems that he meant. Let's just hold till the end, if you don't mind. Sorry. Okay. Now, the a couple other interesting sources, and then we'll wrap it up. The Node of Yehuda, Rabbi Cheska Landau, from Prague, from Poland. This was the 1700s. So he also, you know, did not quite understand why we should be so machmir on Erev Pesach, not eat egg matzah. Pesach, I understand. But Erev Pesach, he didn't really understand why we should be machmir. But nevertheless, he did understand the Ramah, that the Ramah was being machmir about Erev Pesach. And he writes, V'ilmale shekvar hora rosh hamorim shehu Ramah le'iser. He says, if not for the Ramah, who was the greatest Ashkenazi posek, if not for him, paskening that it's aser, afilu b'erev Pesach, even on Erev Pesach, ha'isi matir matzah ashira kol hayom b'erev Pesach. I personally would have allowed it the whole day. I personally would have allowed it the whole day like the Aruch HaShulchan says. Now, the whole day means until around 4 o'clock, right? Until the end of the ninth hour. Right? That's my personal opinion. But what am I going to do? The Ramah already paskined, right? He's understanding the Ramah, that the Ramah is prohibiting it on Erev Pesach. The Ramah paskined it's us on Erev Pesach. He says, Al koponi mani more di'ar chatzos hayom afil l'Ramah motur matzah ashira. But even the Ramah, he says, only means to prohibit it after chatzos. Why? Because after Chatzos, really after Mincha Gedola, that's when it's the Zman Shal Shuris. So that's what the Ramah really meant. The Suda Shlish is Zman Acher Chatzos, Lochein Hichmi Ramah Afil B'Matzah Ashira. And he says, that's what I hold. Lochein Niral and Yostaitis, Siyuma de Pisco. He says, Psak Halacha, the Ar Chatzos, Mutter Bevadai Lecho Matzah Ashira B'Yar Pesach. Certainly until Chatzos, you can absolutely eat Matzah Ashira. The Hamor Lahatri Kolayom, Lo Hifsid B'Mulatzorech Ktsas. Excuse me. Afilu eino tzorech olav ezakid. He says, and if a person paskins that it's mutter even after chatzos, lo hifsid, they didn't lose anything. Meaning, it's not the end of the world to eat it even after chatzos. He says, as long as there's some sort of a tzorech, there should be some sort of a need. Even if you're not really sick, it's not old. You're not old. You're not sick. But there's some sort of a need. No, the Biyudu says, I think you can eat it even after chatzos. At least, you know, that a person who paskins that way, lo hifsid. Again, he says the Ramah doesn't seem to say that. Okay? So we have the Aruch HaShulchan understanding the Ramah, that really it's mutter up, you know, the whole day up until the 10th hour, right? It's just that you're not going to have it. We have the Chok Yaakov, who does not understand the Ramah. He presents that as a possibility, but at the end of the day, he understands the Ramah's prohibiting it. He doesn't tell us from when exactly, but it's prohibited at Erev Pesach. The Node of Yehuda himself agrees with the Aruch HaShulchan, but he says the Ramah is prohibiting it after Chatzos, right? After Chatzos, according to the Ramah, it's Aser. And comes Rav Moshe Feinstein in a tshuva and source number 20, and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, who's also the Baal HaTanya, the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, and they both write. Rav Moshe writes it very clearly. He says, "Poshut shetov lechol beveis asudos matzah ashira." Afanilush Bebeitzim, he says, no problem eating egg matzah for the Friday night meal and the Shabbos morning meal. Avalecho rak arazman shirashoin lecho chametz lemin hageinu. But he says, you can only eat it until the zman of Isser chametz. So according to us, that's 10:55 a.m. She'ein ochlin matzah ashira bepesach. We don't eat matzah ashira on Pesach. Begam lo b'yerev Pesach, achar zman etter achilas chametz laharamah. And even on Erev Pesach, after the time of Isser chametz, no more matzah ashira, no more egg matzah after that time. And the Shulchan Aruch HaRav also writes very clearly, Uvimedinos elu she'eino agin klala echol matzah ashir b'yarev Pesach, misha heva elach. Right? That's from the fifth hour, I mean the end of the fourth hour. When we stop eating chametz, we also stop eating matzah ashira. So there's a big machlokas how to understand this Rama, but we definitely have Gedolei Olam. We have Rav Moshe Feinstein, certainly, who says the Rama means to prohibit it after 10:55. We have the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, who's often quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, who also has the cutoff at 10:55. Some are Medayik also in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Sharat Tziyun, that he seems to say that as well. The Noda Yehuda is a little bit more lenient. He says you can go until Chatzos. You can eat egg matzah until Chatzos. And then we have the Aruch HaShulchan, who's the most lenient, who seems to say you can eat it, you know, the whole day, at least until the 10th hour. Based on this, this is why the accepted Minhag HaOlam is not to eat matzah ashira, not to eat egg matzah after the Zman Isser Chametz. Right? After 10:55 a.m., the accepted Minhag HaOlam is not to eat egg matzah after that time. And that's why, you know, we all remember in years past, whether it's 2008 or before that, we all daven early, right? And we get up early and we try to have both seudos at least, you know, before 10:55, before the time of Isser Chametz. And this idea of eating matzah ashira, egg matzah for Shal Shudis, the Sfarim certainly can do it. The Shulchan Aruch says so explicitly. And the Aruch HaShulchan seems to allow it. And, you know, and maybe the Nodim Yehuda until Chatzos, but it's not really the accepted Minhag Ashkenaz. There was a famous psak put out this year by a well-known posek that allowed it, matzah ashira the whole day, like the Aruch HaShulchan's understanding of the Rama. And if a person relies on it's a big gadol who said such a thing, and a person relies on that, certainly yesh ami lismoch. But I think, you know, given the sources, you know, I don't think that's the widespread minhag to rely on that. I think certainly according to Rav Moshe, you shouldn't do it. According to the Balatan, you shouldn't do it. According to the Mishnah Berurah, you shouldn't do it. And even according to the Nodim Yehuda, that's only until Chatzos and not past that. So I think for that reason, it's not the widespread accepted minhag ha'olam. Okay.
Why did the posek decide that this year Pesach, you know, is it so hard not to eat?
The posek who said it did not, it wasn't about this year. It's just that this year everybody has heard all the Piskei Halacha because Baruch Hashem, we have, you know, we have WhatsApp and we have internet and we have, you know, in 2008, things didn't move as, you know, information did not travel as quickly. But this posek always holds that every year. But, you know, even not just this year. But it happens to be that this year it became a well-known psak and people are relying on it. You know, and again, you know, yeah, there's definitely yesh ami lismoch. The Aruch HaShulchan felt that way. And, you know, this is a big posek who said it. So there's definitely yesh ami lismoch. But I don't think it's the widespread minhag of the minhag Ashkenaz. Someone asked, can one dip egg matzah into soup? So again, it all depends on when you're eating the egg matzah. You know, if you're Sfardi and you're eating the egg matzah on Pesach, so you can dip it into soup. It's just, you know, as long as you eat kibrux. I think Sfardim eat kibrux. If you're Ashkenazi, so then again, you're not, you know, my recommendation would be to follow the general minhag Ashkenaz, not to eat egg matzah after 10:55. Before 10:55, on Erev Pesach, you can do anything you want. It's, you know, because you could, it's like chametz, so no problem. Okay. Just to share some thoughts as we conclude. One more question here. Egg matzah? Well, regular matzah you certainly cannot eat on Erev Pesach at all. Everyone agrees to that.
So therefore, no matter what you say, whether you say that egg matzah is real matzah or not matzah, why do you have to go that you can eat it after 10:55? They're saying that, hey, that egg matzah is a form of matzah.
Okay.
Right.
So that's a good question. There are those who talk about this. Most hold that the iser to eat egg matzah, I'm sorry, the iser to eat matzah on Erev Pesach is because, right, you know, the mitzvah of eating matzah is the night of the Seder. We don't want to, you know, it's too early to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. We want to have a separation between them. That's why we don't eat it on Erev Pesach. But most agree that only applies to matzah with which you can fulfill the mitzvah of the Leil HaSeder. But since everyone agrees that you cannot eat egg matzah for the Leil HaSeder, right, because that's matzah ashira, it's not lechem oni. So everyone agrees to that. So that's why the isser of eating egg matzah on, there's no isser to eat egg matzah, let's say, earlier in the day, right? Let's say Shabbos morning, Erev Pesach, right? There's no isser to eat egg matzah then because you can't be yotze with it at night. You can't eat regular matzah then, but egg matzah would be okay. Okay. So just to talk about some thoughts that came to mind as I was preparing the shir on Lechem Oni. You know, we learned there are two statements in Chazal in the Medrash regarding Lechem Oni that we're familiar with. One of them I mentioned before, Darko Shel Oni Beprusa, right? That an Oni eats pieces, whatever he finds. He doesn't necessarily, you know, eat a loaf of bread or a roll. He eats pieces. And that's why, as I mentioned, we have the mitzvah of Yachatz to break the matzah in half. We also have another statement in Chazal that Lechem Oni is Lechem She'onim Alav Dvarim Harbe. This is the bread upon which we say many things. Upon which we say many things. And this is the basis of the custom that when we come to Halach Ma'anya, we uncover the matzahs. Right? And for much of Magid, we uncover the matzahs. Why? Because the matzah, the Lechem Oni, is the Lechem She'onim Alav Dvarim Harbe. You know, the concept of Lechem, of being an Oni, is not really a concept that we stress on the night of the Seder. We celebrate our Cherus, our freedom. We remember the Avdus, right? We have things that remind us of the blood. We have things that remind us. We have the salt water reminds us of the tears. Avodas Perach, we remember the hard work, right? The Charoses reminds us of the bricks and the mortar. But that's Avdus. That's slavery. It's not poverty. Lechem Oni, the fact that we're remembering this bread of Oni, which means poverty, poor man's bread, is really a novel concept. It's not something that we normally think about on the night of the Seder. So why are we focusing on the poor man's bread? We were enslaved. We were persecuted. Were we poor? Coming out of Mitzrayim, we know actually we weren't very poor. We were rich because we had the riches of the Mitzrayim. So why are we focusing on this poor man's bread on the night of the Seder? And also, is there any connection between these two statements of Chazal? So I was thinking that if you think about a person who's poor has to train themselves to be mistapek bimuat. They have to train themselves to be satiated and satisfied with whatever they have, with whatever they can find. In fact, we know the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, Ezehu Ashir, who is the rich person? Not a person who has a certain number of dollars in their bank account. Hasameach b'chelko. A person who is satisfied with his lot. Because if you're happy with what you have, if you're satisfied with what you have, that makes you rich. And a poor person essentially has to become that type of usher. They can't become the usher of physical wealth, of financial wealth. They don't have the money. The only type of usher they can become is an usher that's sameach b'chelko. An usher that can rejoice, that can understand and be satisfied and satiated with whatever they find. Whatever pieces, Darko Shalani Beprusa, whatever pieces they find, that's what you can be satisfied with. I think this year, this past year and change now, has taught us many, many lessons. Many lessons that we're never going to forget. As much as we want to forget this time period, and as we move past it with Hashem's help, we're going to try to put a lot of this out of our memories. But I hope that some of the lessons that we learned, some of the lessons we talked about and some of the lessons that we didn't talk about, I hope those lessons are not forgotten. How many of us went to a simcha this year that was mistapek bimuat, that was a little bit toned down, or maybe a lot toned down? How many of us attended a backyard wedding where there was basically only family and maybe some very close friends? How many of us, you know, attended these beautiful, beautiful simchas? They weren't ornate. They weren't lavish. They didn't have the hundreds and hundreds of guests. They didn't have the 15, 20-piece bands that we've seen in the past. They didn't have the exotic flower arrangements. They were simple. They were almost like the Lechem Oni. They were the poor man's bread. It was just bread and water. It was a wedding. There was food, there was family, there were some close friends, Chasan and Kala, and they got married. And how many of us came away from these weddings thinking, wow, that was a beautiful wedding. It wasn't in a fancy hall. We didn't have all the fancy bells and whistles that we were used to from pre-COVID. but it was such a beautiful wedding. How many people who were used to going away for Pesach, spending thousands and thousands of dollars going away for Pesach, got stuck last year at home, making Pesach at home? And making Pesach at home is not easy. You have to kosher your house. You have to clean your house. You have to shop. It's not cheap either. And how many people did not have the luxurious Pesach that they were used to, with all the bells and whistles, with the 24-hour tea room, with the lavish buffets? And yet, how many of those people walked away from Pesach last year thinking, wow, that was a beautiful Pesach. That was a beautiful Pesach with my family. That was a beautiful Seder with my children. That was a beautiful Pesach. We were forced to be mistapek b'muat. We were forced to live with the lechem oni, with just the flour and the water. We were forced to be sameach b'chelko, because we didn't want to be depressed. So we were forced to be satisfied and even happy with what we had. And when we looked deep into it, we realized we can be happy without all of this lavishness, all of this luxury, without all of these ornate bells and whistles. We can be happy, and it can be so beautiful. Now, Baruch Hashem, things are opening up. Like I said this morning, I think we're on the other side of the hill. Not to let down our guard, Chas v'Shalom. We still have to be careful. But Baruch Hashem, the numbers are going down, the vaccinations are going up, and things are beginning to open up. People are beginning to have simchas again, and they're beginning to invite more people. People are going away for Pesach this year, and some people need to go away for Pesach this year, sometimes just mentally to get away. And I understand that. I still think it's a little toned down this year. But we can't forget the lessons that we've learned. We can't forget the lesson of Lechem Oni. Lechem Oni, we all came out of Mitzrayim. This is all we had. And it was beautiful. We were together. We had each other. We had the Ribono Shel Olam. That's all we needed. And I think over time, perhaps we forgot that lesson a little bit. But I think we need to make sure that we don't forget it. We need to make sure that as we move on past this pandemic, as we get our lives back on track, as we get back to what we used to know as normal, and as the chasanas begin to get bigger, and as the Pesach programs begin to open up, we just have to remember that we don't need all of this. We can be mistapek b'muat. We can be happy with what we have. And I think that's part of the lesson of the Lechem Oni. And one final lesson that I'll leave you with before this Pesach. Now the pasuk says, "Hashlech al Hashem yehavcha, v'hu yichal kalecha." Throw your weight on Hashem, and He will support you. One thing about an ani is that he never knows where his next meal is going to come from. He might get a handout from this person one day. He finds a soup kitchen another day. He finds someone's leftovers in the trash can a third day. He doesn't know where his next meal is going to come from. When we came out of Mitzrayim, maybe part of the reason why this matzah is referred to as Lechem Oni was because, think about it, this is all we had. And we were heading into a vast expanse of desert, and we had no clue where our next meal was going to come from. There's no wheat out there. We can't bake more bread out in the desert. We don't know what's going to be. Lech teich acharai bamidbar, Hashem says. But don't worry. Just go. You have the bread now? Just go. I'll take care of you. Hashleich al Hashem yehavcha v'hu yichal kalecha. We threw everything onto Hashem. And we said, Hashem, you take care of us. And He did. There were times that we grumbled. There were times that we complained. And times that we looked around and we didn't see any water. We didn't see any bread. We didn't see any meat. And we kvetched about it. And Hashem provided for us. Because at the end of the day, coming out of Mitzrayim, there was nothing but Hashem. Another lesson of the Lechem Oni that I think we learned in such a powerful way this year, and we can never, ever forget it, is that as much as in today's society, we look around and we see so much that we can rely on. We have stores and we have technology and we have everything. But this year taught us that in a second, it could all be gone. And really all we have is Hashem. All the doctors, as much as they're trying to do good, and as much as they know, and all the researchers, at the end of the day, we know it's like the blind leading the blind. They're learning as we're learning. Maybe they're a couple steps ahead of us, but they don't really know what's going on until they learn a little bit more. The government also trying to lead us. They don't really know what's going on. Everyone is just trying to lead us, trying to figure things out as it plays itself out. At the end of the day, the only one who knows what's going on now is the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's the only one. Lech teich acharai b'midbar. Just like we came out of the midbar, we didn't know where our next meal was coming from. We threw everything on Hashem and we said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know what's going to be, but take care of me. And he did. That's what we did this year. Whether we acknowledge it or not, that's what we did. Because as each step of this pandemic went on, and some of us lost loved ones, some of us lost our jobs, some of us got really sick, we looked out and we said, Hashem, I don't know what's going to be, but I know you can take care of me, so please do. And Baruch Hashem, he does, and he continues to take care of us. And again, as much as we come out of this pandemic, we can never forget that lesson. The lesson of Lech Teich Acharai B'Midbar, the lesson of Hashlech Al Hashem Yehavcha V'Hu Yichal Kalecha, the lesson of Lech Amoni, that in the end, we're all poor people, because we don't really know where our next meal is going to come from. The only place it's going to come is from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So as we throw everything on him and ask him to protect us, to continue to protect us, and to continue to provide for us, we get closer to him, and we can all rejoice in a Zman Cheruseinu, in a sense of real freedom, where we're free of all the narishkeit of this world, and we can just connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Baruch Hashem, this year we can celebrate with our families as well. And Amir Tzah Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should continue to provide for us, should continue to protect us, and should continue to enable us to learn these lessons and to remember these lessons, to make us better people each and every moment of each and every day. Gutvach, thank you very much for joining. Wishing everyone a Chag Kosher v'Sameach.